आचार्येन्द्रं करकलितचिन्मुद्रमानन्दमूर्तिं स्वात्मा रामं मुदितवदनं दक्षिणामूर्तिमीरे विश्वं दर्पणदृश्यमाननगरी तुल्यं निजान्तर्गतम् पश्यन्नात्मनि मायया बहिरिवोद्भूतं यथा निद्रयाः यः साक्षात् कुरुते प्रबोधसमये स्वात्मानमेवाद्वयम् तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदम् श्रीलक्ष्मीमूर्तये बीजस्यान्तरिवाङ्कुरो जगदिदम् प्राण निर्विकल्पम् पुनः मायाकल्पितदेशकालकलना वैचित्र्यचित्रीकृतम् मायावीव विजृम्भयत्यपि महा योगीव यस्वेच्छया तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदम् श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये यस्यैव स्फुरणं सदात्मकमसत्कल्पार्थकं भासते साक्षात्तत्त्वमसीति वेदवचसा यो बोधय शाश्रिताम् यत्साक्षात्करणाद्भवेन पुनरावृत्तिर्भवां भोनिदौ तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदम् श्रीलक्ष्मीमूर्तये नानाच्छिद्रघटोदरस्थितमहादीपप्रभास्वरम् ज्ञानं यस्य तु चक्षुरादिकरणद्वारा बहिःस्पन्दते जानामीति तमेव भान्तमनुभात्येतत्समस्तं जगत् तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये देहं प्राणमपीन्द्रियाण्यपि चलान् बुद्धिं च शून्यं विदुः श्रीबालाङ्गजटोपमा स्वहमिति भ्रान्ता भृशंवादिनः मायाशक्तिविलासकल्पितमहा व्यामोहसंहारिणे तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदम् श्रीलक्ष्मीमूर्तये राहुग्रस्तदिवाकरेन्दुसदृशो मायासमाच्छादनात् सन्मात्रकरणोपसंहरणतो यो भूत् सुषुप्तः पुमान् प्रागस्वासमिति प्रबोधसमये यः प्रत्यभिज्ञायते तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदम् श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये बाल्यादिष्वपि जाग्रदादिषु तथा सर्वास्वस्थास्वपि व्यावृत्तास्वनुवर्तमानमहमित्यनन्तस्फुरन्तं सदा स्वात्मानं प्रकटीकरोति भजतां यो मुद्रया भद्रया तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदम् Shridakshinamurtaye.
Swatmanam prakriti karoti bhajatam yaha mudraya bhadraya. Good line. Salutations to Smai Shri Guru Murtiye Namitam Shri Dakshinamurtiye. Salutations to Shri Lord Dakshinamurti, in the form, who's now in the form of my guru, Yaha, who, by this most auspicious mudra, right? Bhadra is auspicious mudra, by this most auspicious mudra, the one who prakriti karoti. Prakata means to make very clear, to make manifest, to open up, right? So the one who makes very clear, makes easily manifest, well seen, Swatmanam, one's own self. So salutations to my teacher, to Lord Dakshinamurti, who teaches Bhajatam, his devotees. Bhaj, it's an interesting word to use Bhaj for Bhajatam. It means the one whose life or Shraddha or being is committed to that teacher, but it's not just committed. It's interesting. It's committed to the teacher, which means committed to that pramana. It's committed to the means of the means of knowledge, which involves both the Upanishad. So the Shraddha is there for the Upanishad, and there's Shraddha in the teacher also, so that the teacher does not get in the way. That's the situation. As the pramana is taking place, the teaching is taking place, both the teacher and the student should disappear. And that all that's happening are those vrittis are taking place in your mind. That seeing is taking place in your mind. And so if the teacher is an obstruction, then what's happening is the pramana is taking place. Instead, your own mind and your own obstructions also, but the teacher can be an obstruction. And so in that case, the knowledge is not flowing, just flowing into the mind of the student. And in fact, what is happening when this knowledge is taking place, and there are no obstructions, there is one vision taking place that both the teacher and the student are enjoying. When that's the case, then that pramana is blessing us. So here, Shankara brings in this word, bhajatam, and we can just translate it simply, the salutations to my teacher, the one who, in the form of Lord Dakshinamurti, in the form now of my guru, who makes manifest the truth of my own being, swa-atma, my own self, through the teaching of this mudra. Of course, this mudra has to have some meaning. Bhagavan can hold up the mudra, but then he also has to explain it. If it's already understood, if all the rishis that are sitting there surrounding him are all, revered jnanis, brahmanishtas, as it says in one translation of this first verse, the prayer verse that we do, when it says brahmanishtaihi, that brahmanish, if you take it there, brahmanishtaihi, it means these elder rishis are all surrounding Bhagavan, Lord Dakshinamurti, who themselves are his students living with him, but they themselves are brahmanishtas. And Swamiji's joked once, in fact, I remember when I was really young, in my 20s, and we were at the ashram in Powai. First, the ashram in India, in Powai, in Bombay. Swami Vidhitatmananda, some of you know, Swami Vidhitatmananda was there with us. He was also not a Swami at that time. And I remember us all piling into the car, and Swami Vidhitatmananda and myself and a couple of other people, of course, four or five other people, were there kind of squashed in the back seat, and there's people in the front seat. And so yeah, Swami Vidhitatmananda was just kind of just being with himself and talking some nice things about the Vedanta, and he said, Vedanta is like a mirror. You never get tired of looking at yourself. So I think of that. When I think of these, if I think of these rishis, you know, the ones for whom this knowledge has just flowed through their mind by as Ishwara out into their own sishas, they themselves never get tired of hearing this or being in the presence of Bhagwan, of Shiva in the form of Lord Dakshinamurti, just sitting there with himself so silently, totally absorbed in his own being, with just having this chinmudra, which they know very clearly what it means. And so just being in the company of that one who has jnana-nishta, they have jnana-nishta themselves, right, with this mudra that says everything. The mudra, this mudra is a mudra of jnana-nishta, because this is where this is how you start. It's like this. This here is the body, mind, sense organs. This is the ahankara. So that's where you start when you come to the teaching. I am this and I want to know who I am. So what happens is that this ahankara, as the ajnanam is removed, the aham is no longer identifies itself with the body, mind, sense organs. That identity becomes just useful. It's just mitya. But my sense of self is with Brahman, myself. And so this is such a beautiful thing. It's also kind of a meditation that we can do, is to watch what happens when the aham, the I, you have the I thought arise, because it's just a vritti, it's one of the vrittis, the thought modifications that your mind is capable of having. I am doing this, I am doing that, we call the ahankara. But let that aham rise and just see where it lands. So it can land on your thoughts, it can land on your body, it can just land on me as this body, mind, sense organs. But it can also land and always just resolve into me, the Atma, which is Brahman. And that's where you want it to be. You know? When it's landing on the body, it can land on the body as mitya. The body is mitya, the ahankara is mitya. So instead of having to say the body is going to the store, I just say I'm going to the store. But that doesn't mean that I have become the body. Or I've been thinking about that, the Atma's all starting to think now? No. That's all mitya. That's just a matter of speech. But in terms of your being, when you say I, in terms of your being, then let it continually resolve into you, into the self that you are, just the self that you are that is always the same, no matter what is going on. Right? And so that being that, that's a nice meditative practice, so that the aham gets used to coming to who I actually am, not to that kind of habitual ajnanam, habitual ignorance, you know, where it's going to land on, if my mind is upset, it lands on I am upset. If my mind is hurt, I am hurt. But what about when it lands on me? There's a vritti, say there's a painful vritti in the mind, but the aham lands on me. That changes the whole relationship with that vritti. So being myself, you know, being myself, this experience is there. But I bless this experience. I bless the vritti, whether it's a dukkha vritti or a sukha vritti. I bless it in that it has a home. So there's always this kind of, can always be this kind of, like a simple mantra that is, you can be with me. Whatever the vritti, I don't push you away. You can be with me. Vritti means thought modification. So whatever thought modification or emotion comes up, you can be with me. You are with me anyway. So I'm really not saying much. Yeah. But in terms of my knowledge, in terms of my attitude, it's saying a lot. You can be with me because my being actually blesses and is the sanctuary. It's a sanctuary for whatever thought you're having, whatever agitation that you're having, or whatever joy you're having, let the joy also resolve into me. Let it all be Ishwara. So, here, my salutations to that one who teaches, who makes manifest, brings to my own recognition, gives me myself, gives me back myself that has been lost from beginningless time only because of ajnanam. So one beautiful thing is once you get this knowledge, as you recognize yourself, you recognize that I've always been here. You're not giving me knowledge or the experience of myself. You're giving me the recognition that this self that I am and have always been is free and is not subject to time. And I recognize that this self that I am most attached to, that is most dear to me, that is who I am, is actually free from time and space and free from all of the vagaries of mitya, all of the vagaries of samsara. That I'm absolutely free from that at all times. They don't cover me, I illumine them. They don't have a capacity to cover me, they're mitya. They don't have any being apart from me. So I recognize the wholeness and stability of my own being amidst Bhagavan's infinite manifestation with all of its changes. Okay, let's do the next one.
Vishvam pashyati karya karanataya.
Vishvam pashyati karya karanataya.
Swaswami sambandhatah.
Swaswami sambandhatah.
Shishyacharyataya tataiva.
Shishyacharyataya tataiva.
Pitraputradhyatmana bhedatah.
Pitraputradhyatmana bhedatah.
Swapne jagrati vaya esha purusho.
Swapne jagrati vaya esha purusho.
Maya paribhramitah.
Maya paribhramitah. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaitam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Vishwam Pashyati Karya Karanataya Swa Swami Sambandhataha Shishya Acharyataya Tata Eva Pitra. Pitra putradi atmana bedataha. Swapne jagrati va yaha eshaha purushaha maya paribhramitaha. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtiye nama idam Shri Dakshina Murtiye. So, Vishwam, the universe, that which displays in a manifold way, or also that which is all-pervasive, is everywhere. Either way, Vishwam. Pushyati, the one who sees this universe, Bedataha, end of the second line. Vishwam Pushyati Bedataha. He sees this universe, as this world, as full of differences. Full of divisions. I experience this world variously. I am me, you are you. So he says, in which way, bhedataha, how is it being experienced full of difference and duality? Beda means to divide, to cut asunder. So bhedataha means the one who sees this whole universe, you know, as dual, with duality. How? Like, for instance, karya karanataya. I see in this universe just a series of cause and effects. Everything has its cause, which has its cause, which has its cause. So I see the universe, you know, divided into a series of cause and effects wherever I look. Karya. Karya means effect, karana means cause. Or I see swaswami, sambandhataha. Or I see everywhere the relationship of the swami, the master, and his servant. This is my master, Swaswami. This is my master, the Swami Britya, the servant or the employer employed, you know, or the boss and the employee, or the householder and their servants. So I see this world in terms of this hierarchy of master and servant, or I see it also in terms of cause and effect, or I see it and not or it's and shishya acharitya, or I see it in terms of the teacher and student, the teacher-student relationship. I am the student, you are the teacher, vice versa. Shishya acharitya tathaiva, similarly. And also I see it in terms of the father, pitra, putra, father, son, adi. Father, son, daughter, mother, every relation that you can possibly think of. I see brother, sister, in terms of uncle, in terms of all of these relationships. I see the universe in terms of relationships. So all of these dvaitas, all of these dualities are there, and they are real for me. Right? So he just lists a few of them, actually. In the commentary, he lists many more. You know, I see the universe in terms of endless dualities, in terms of endless relationships. So this actually goes the second line, third line. Swapne, in dream, jagrati va, or in waking state, both in waking state or in dream, yaha esha purushaha, that one who, this person who, maya paribramitaha, totally deluded. Pari means from all sides. So when you put pari as an affix, it means whatever the thing is, if that's happening from all around, it circles me. So what's circling me here? My brahma, my delusion, my ajnanam, my confusion. The one who is deluded by maya, maya paribramitaha, the one who is that person who, being deluded by maya, both in the waking state and in the dream state, sees this universe, sees this world in terms only of cause and effect, in terms of all of the relationships, in terms of the hierarchy of master-servant hierarchy, in terms of the teacher and the student, in terms of the familial relationships, whether it be in dream or in samsara, this is my relationship with the world. It is I am in relationship with the world in a variety of ways. That's why bedataha. I see the world in terms of this duality. Right? So, why do I see it? Who sees it? That one who is deluded by maya. Right? Salutations to him, my teacher. Why? To Bhagawan, to Dakshinamurti, who, deluded by maya, so it's really to the Atma, who is deluded by maya in waking and in dream, experiences this world in terms of subject-object, really. And so what's so beautiful about this is that this world that we experience, this upadhi, the subject-object differences that we experience, the delusion that all of the jivas have when the universe comes into manifestation, because of the nature of maya, having that capacity of avarana, covering my own swarupa, my own nature, all of the jivas are subject to this delusion, right? It's not that some are deluded because they're a little off. It's because the very nature of the creation causes that subject-object relationship. The mind experiences me as itself. Because why shouldn't it? It's sattva. It has no vritti that is not pervaded by me. And so why? And it's a different type of pervasion. It's not like it's something that is pervaded by something else. Like if I say the pot is pervaded by clay, it's not really pervaded by clay because there's nothing there but clay. You know, it's not like there's some pot that's been filled up with clay so that the pot has some sort of reality. And we could say, well, the pot is filled up by the clay which I have poured into. It, so the clay is pervading the whole pot, except for, of course, the pot. You see what I mean? So here, if I say, you know, I pervade this whole creation, Well, that's not quite true. I pervade my mind. The Atma pervades the whole mind. Your Atma, the Atma, is the whole mind. It is all minds. It is the whole creation. This is mitya. The creation is mitya. So it's not like there's some sort of real container that is covering the Atma, as though there's the prakriti, the maya, that kind of is this infinite display, which somehow is rests on me, as though it's something that rests on me. There's no thing that rests on me. There is only me. But then this universe is this incredible display, this incredible complex display that has so many things happening in the creation, including all of these living jivas that have sukshma shariras, subtle bodies. That's all part of the display. To think about it, that it's inherent to this creation. The jivas, the living entities with their body, mind, sense organs, are inherent to the manifestation of the creation. In the same way that they're inherent to your dream, they're part of it. Human beings, animals, sukshma shariras reincarnating, taking birth after birth after birth, is part of Bhagavan's display. It's not separate from it. There happens to be an inbuilt ajnanam because of the nature of maya itself that caused those jivas not to know what's going on. But whether the jivas know what's going on or not, what the part that doesn't know what's going on is mitya. Right? Your mind is mitya. Your sense organs are mitya. The body is mitya. The whole universe is mitya. Ishwara is mitya. What does that mean to say that Ishwara is mitya? It's just like saying the pot is mitya. The only thing there for Ishwara is the Satchitatma, Brahman. That's what is actually there. Me, conscious being. And my being manifests as this whole universe. But the manifestation is not a second thing which causes me to go through a change to become that. It is my infinite expression. This universe is my infinite expression. It's mitya. It is not a substance apart from me. It's a creative capacity that Swamiji calls now an incidental attribute. What he means by that, you know, I always forget what he calls it, incidental attribute. Okay. But you know what's good about that? Incidental attribute means that this attribute, if you take this whole infinite creation as an attribute which is incidental, that means actually it's tatista. It brings about no change to myself. Just like if I were to ask you to imagine a universe, that's an incidental attribute to your being, because it doesn't bring about any change to you, but it's your maya that can allow that manifestation to be projected and be experienced. So we, within this creation, and Ishwara himself, experiences this manifestation, which has no independent being of its own. And yet we experience it. We can say this is all mitya. It has no being of its own, but that's not to say it doesn't exist, because we experience it. And so this infinite display, which is the display of my being, this is who I am, this is my nature, this display, this incidental attribute that displays us this whole infinite creation, this is me, you know. It's like a display of joy. It's an infinite display, like an infinite mandala of knowledge, you know. That's what it is. That is me. That is my nature, you know. And yet, in that infinite display, all of which is me, the jivas, because of the nature of that display, have ajnanam. They have a built-in ajnanam, because the minds, which are all sattva, they're like little mirrors, but those mirrors don't are so limited and compared to the whole. So there's no reason for each little piece of sattva that every jiva enjoys and therefore manifests and reflects consciousness. There is no reason at all for it to think, I am not that. Because wherever it is, that is. You know? So if the mind is up, that is. So when the mind is up, that is, you know, why shouldn't I be that? You know, but then the problem is, all these jivas think, why? Oh, that's who I am, obviously, and that's who you are, and we all know that. We're all suffering from the same ignorance. So we all take ourselves to be this limited being, but it doesn't feel right. Because we experience our own being, the being that we are, as something else. But we have no means of knowledge to hold up a mirror to that. Even when we have a sukhavritti and experiencing our own ananda, or our own fullness, we know this is how I'm supposed to be. You've had so many experiences through your life. This is how I'm supposed to be. You know, not upset like this, or not feeling lost like this. That's not who I am. I don't feel like myself. And so I wonder, that's why somebody becomes a mumukshu. Who am I? Who am I really? All of these jivas, one at a time, handful at any given time, want to know, who am I really? Because I feel bound. You know, there must be more, because I'm seeking for more. I'm seeking to be whole and complete and free. So even though I am whole and complete and free, and even though this whole creation is a manifestation of my own being, is a mitya manifestation of my own being, all of the jivas, by their nature, are limited until they gain self-knowledge. So, what he says here is, he says, the jiva by your nature is going to experience the world in terms of this diversity. How can you not? Because in fact, within the world, there is cause and effect. There is master and servant. There are all of these hierarchies exist. There is teacher and student. There are all these family relationships, and here I am experiencing the world from within it. That Brahma is brought about by Maya. Even when you gain self-knowledge, that experience is there as long as you have this body. It's not like you gain self-knowledge and recognize yourself and you recognize the mityatva of this world. That's all absolutely clear. Your own being is self-evident. Still, what do you see? It's not like the all of the familial relations go away, that there are no teacher-student relationship, that there is no cause-effect in the world. All of these things remain. It's just that they change their order of reality. They go into mitya. Because I recognize my being as the very self of all of them. And that is aparoksha. Aparoksha means that is self-evident to me for the jnani. But who is the one? Who is the one who is all these jivas? It is only Bhagavan. Right? It's only Ishvara. From the standpoint of all of the jivas are Ishvara. It's nobody else. So my salutations to the Lord, who's taken this form as the first teacher, right? Who is teaching who? All of these jivas, all of whom are suffering from ignorance, who are nothing but myself. That they're nothing but myself, right? So now Bhagavan has taken the form of Dakshinamurti, the first teacher, to teach all of these jivas who are himself alone, right? Because there is only one self. You know? So that is the absolute beauty of the creation. This creation is here, you know, but unfortunately, for whatever it is, it's just how it is. It's not like Bhagavan said, why don't we, you know, produce this creation? All the jivas be ignorant. It's built, it's just the way it is. There's no really option there. And there's no Bhagavan who's making a decision there. Creation is beginningless. This creation, this mandala of infinite knowledge, is the expression of my being. It's not somebody decided to express me in that way. This is the beginningless expression of who I am. And included in that expression from within it is all of this ajnana that all of the jivas are suffering from. But it's okay, because Bhagavan takes a form, the first teacher begins this sampradaya, let this knowledge be there for whoever wants it. Whoever wants it. Once you become a mumukshu and you ask that question, who am I? What is really going on here? What is the truth of my being? All you need to do is to have that question, and then this knowledge will come to you, wherever you are in the creation. That is Bhagavan's promise. You, when you become the mumukshu, a mumukshu, then that means of knowledge comes to you. Until then, you don't need it. You don't need it because you're having a good time fulfilling your desires and doing all of the things that you want to do, you know. And until you realize that, you actually cannot win the game. You cannot win the game by thinking that it's not going to happen, that if you just fulfill the right combination of desires and change things this way or that way, you will win the game by saying, I've made it. You know, kritya krittaha, or kritta krityaha. Everything that is to be done has been done. I am whole, I am full, I am complete. It's over. You cannot get there. It's like chasing after a horizon, right? Because the ananda that you're seeking is not something away from you that you can achieve. You can think you can get rid of all of these certain things that are making you miserable. Okay, I get rid of all of those things. All of them gone. And then I just get all of the things that I think will make me happy. And luckily, fortunately for me, I get all of them, all of them, all of them. But it doesn't work. Because I don't continue wanting those things. And I think almost immediately, I'll give you 15 seconds. 15 seconds before the next little desire comes and says, yeah, but we need this too. I think we need this too. And so this never ending. So at this point, you don't need any pramana because you don't have the question. You still think that you can do it, so you're still kind of in the game, you know. But the instant you realize that you cannot win this game, that it's absolutely impossible, not through any fault of your own, but because of the very nature of the creation, the ananda that you're seeking is not an object, it's the very swarupa, the very nature of yourself. You're looking out here to collect it, to gather it up. It's not possible, because you're going in the opposite direction. So when you realize it, then you do need a pramana, because your sense organs and the means of knowledge that you have available to you don't turn inward. You don't have, you're not carrying on your body, built into your body, a means of knowledge to tell you who you are. You only are being who you are. Your self-experience is there, but you don't understand it. You don't understand who you are in reference to this body, mind, sense organs world. Just you know I am and I exist. And sometimes I experience happiness, right? There's no real viveka there at all. You need a mirror, the mirror of the Upanishads, the mirror of this teaching held up to you so that you can see yourself. That's what it is. And so until that time, until I have the question, I don't need it. But once I have the question, then the teacher will come to you. Puja Swamiji used to joke, even if you're in Timbuktu, you know where that is? It's some place way far away somewhere. Even if you're in Timbuktu, you will get this knowledge. Either you'll find yourself transported to where it is, or the teacher will land there. You'll have a teacher that comes, moves to Timbuktu, just for you, just for you. You will get this knowledge. That's the promise of the Upanishads. So when you think of that, it's such a beautiful thing. So this whole creation, this infinite creation, is an expression of me. And all of the jivas that are in that creation are me. They're an expression of me. And so I am running around, you know, totally deluded because of the inbuilt ajnanam based on the situation, running around completely deluded, you know, seeing the world in a dual way, subject to object, dual way full of difference, until I gain this knowledge. So salutations to Bhagavan, to Dakshinamurti, you know, who is giving himself knowledge. Because there is no jiva, there is nothing in the creation that is not me. So salutations to the Lord who, being totally deluded by the Maya, you know, is now there to give himself knowledge. Give himself knowledge means yourself, right? Yourself from the standpoint of Maya, from the standpoint of Brahman, there is no ignorance, there's no creation either. So Dakshinamurti has taken a form, it's Ishwara. He's taken a form to give knowledge to all of the jivas, you know, who think that they're limited. Whereas in fact, in truth, nobody is limited. There is only one self, and that one self is limitless and free. But until each one of these individual upadis gains knowledge, the feeling is, I am a limited being seeking my happiness. So built into the creation is this pramana, and it becomes available to you as you need it. The example they use for this is, say you're on a trek, maybe to go up to one of the holy sites. And as you're taking your trek, you come to a river, right? And you have to get across the river, and so you go to where the boatman is. And the boatman, you know, takes you, you get into his boat, he takes you all the way across the river. Okay? And you get out, you get across the river, you know, you give him a little tip, and then you go on your way. You don't take him with you. Nor did you need him. Nor did you need him before you got to the river. But when you got to the river, then he was very, very important. Right? He was very important. He took you all the way across the river. You get across the river. Then, of course, you say goodbye. You know, thank you so much. You're some dakshina. And you go your way. Doesn't even enter your mind that you should put the boat on your head and go with it. It's not necessary. So this pramana is like that. When you need it, it is there waiting for you. It will take you across the river of samsara, the river of transmigratory existence. It will take you across. Once you're on the other side, you have that jnanam, you don't need that boat anymore, then you walk away freely. So Bhagavan is very conservative in that way. He doesn't give unnecessary things. He gives things as they are needed, right? That is, of course, often a problem for us. Because we know when we're going to need something in the future, like money, for instance. I know that I'm going to have to pay my bills next month. How am I going to get that money? You know, I can worry about it. Or in 6 months, I'm going to be in this kind of situation. How is that going to work? You know. And so I can spend the rest of the month or the rest of the 6 months really fretting about that. But Bhagavan is not fretting. He's the banker. And you don't need the money for him until the month is up. That's when you need it. And that's when, of course, I'll give you the money, you know, the very day you need it. That's perfect. You need not worry about it until then, you know. Yes, that thing is coming up in 6 months. I know that as soon as that 6 months is there, yeah, definitely we'll give you that. But I don't know that for sure. I think I have to do all of that. You know? So it's a great, great sadhana to learn patience. It's such a wonderful sadhana. Maybe one of the most important sadhanas, you know, to when you don't know how you're going to do something or how something is going to happen. Listen to this little piece of logic. You don't know, truly you don't know how this is going to happen. That's your condition right now. You really have no idea. Okay. Now, what are you going to do about that? You don't know, right? You don't know. You don't know. Okay? You don't know. That's it. So now what do we do about that? the fun, most beautiful thing to do and the most sensible thing to do is wait. Give things time, time to unfold. You don't know right now. And you can't say, I don't know right now. No, must know. No, no. Yeah, it doesn't work. Nothing happens. But what is so beautiful is kind of let the flower unfold. Let the creation unfold. See what Bhagavan does. See how he's going to take care of the situation. You know, how is Bhagavan going to take care of the situation? You are included in the situation. You know, so with that shraddha, you can become very patient and enjoy how things unfold and doing those things which you know to do at this particular time. Those things you do because they're there to be done. You know, right? You don't decide, I need to do this now. This should be done now. This should be done now. So I do these things. And then let the things that I don't know, just let them be. Give it a little time for those things to become known, and then you do those. It's challenging for us to slow down to Bhagavan's time. Bhagavan works much more slowly. The Vyavahara, this empirical reality, Ishwara's time, works at a much slower speed than our mind, Pratibhasika. We can speed ahead, imagining all of the things that need to happen, or all of the things that should happen, and all of the things that could happen, all of the catastrophic thinking, which is also part of it, you know. It could go like this, it could go like that, it could go like that, what do I have to do, what's my responsibility to make this happen properly. All of that, the mind is so clever. It knows all of the variables, all of the possibilities. So you're really trying to second guess Ishwara. Say, I know Bhagavan, like, this could happen, or that 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 could happen. You know? So what if I just tell myself, it's okay. You just slow down. Let's see. Let me do what is in front of me to be done. You know? Continually, let me do what is here. I know what is here to be done. Let me do those things. That's Swamiji, Swamiji's life, Puja Swamiji, I think it's Swami Vagishananda too. I just do what is here, what Bhagavan presents. What is here to be done, I do that to the best of my ability. And time keeps churning. And I keep slowing down to be in Bhagavan's time and to do what is given to be done at any given moment. And as Puja Swamiji says, and that's it. But that's my life. And he had such a huge, huge footprint. He was handling so many things, so many different organizations, so many different charities, that whole Aim for Seva, so putting so many kids through school. He had so many, supporting so many his swamis, supporting so many ashrams for them. It just went on endlessly. There's no way that it can be done. But he didn't consider himself the doer. He didn't. He just did what was in front of him to do to the best of his ability. Even though he would have sometimes a stack of mail like this high. Stack. There's no way to get to the bottom, you know. But he would still, just every day, he'd be working through it and working through it, and his secretary would come. And he would dictate letters and letters and letters, and sometimes the secretary would come, Martha, usually would come and sit there, and right when they were ready to get started, and she had all of these things that she knew that she had to answer, but somebody would come to visit. And now all of these things that she, papers she needed signed, and all of these pressing letters and everything, had to wait. And that went on endlessly, you know, but every day he did more and more and more. He never got to the bottom of the list. Everything was fine. He did his best every single day, you know. And all of these things that are impossible for one person to take care of, or for many people to take care of, got done. They get done. It happens. And so that's an amazing thing, to give it all, give it to Ishwara. It's not about being lazy. It's not about being lazy. It's just about recognizing that there's more than you here. There's more to this creation. There's more to your prarabdha. It's not that you're living in an inert world and you have to carve out your life for yourself. Your life is already happening. Your life is this Ishwara. The life that you have is Ishwara. And that life is taking place. And you find yourself every moment in that life which is taking place. You find yourself as part and parcel of Ishwara. Of Ishwara's life, right? You're part of a bigger story. You are part of a bigger life. You are included in a bigger life, you know? And so as you understand that, and you can understand that by testing a little bit, you know? Testing a little bit to see, is that really true? You know? When I was little, and little means 18, I walked down to Mexico by myself because I wanted to know if Bhagawan was there or not. I had to know. And I made bets along the way as I walked. If you're really there. And that, the thing is, this actually worked because I was so serious about it. You know? If you're really there, that next car has to stop and pick me up. So let's see, you know. And almost every time it happened, to give me that kind of confidence in Shraddha, sometimes you have to do some wild thing like that. They used to ask the teachers, the gurus, up in Rishikesh, used to tell their sishas, you walk down to Madras and back. It's about 3 years. Takes about 3 years. With nothing. Just the clothes. You walk down there and you come back. And then I'll teach you. And they did, you know, because you recognize that you're taken care of. It's such an amazing thing. So you put Bhagavan, the teacher would make them put Bhagavan to the test, you know, for a long period of time. You know, so, but you can do it in small ways, just deciding that you're going to relax and really, really focus on doing well. What is right here available for you to do now, well. Because we spend a lot of time worrying on what is not available for me to do now, well, you know. And there's nothing we can do about that because you're taking a jump ahead of what is actually here to be done. Even in terms of cause, I need to do this before this will happen. Yes, but this is here now for you to do. You see what I mean? And then that will take care of this which is going to come later. But if this thing isn't even here now, you're projecting about a sequence of cause and effect and things you have to do that have not arrived yet. And so then you worry, and in fact they may never arrive because Bhagavan has a different idea of the order of things that you need to do and of what is actually going to happen. So it's a sadhana to really slow down and do well what is available for you to do now. It's kind of a different perspective. It's instead of thinking, I have to create this and make this happen, instead I'm responding, you know, to what Ishwara gives me to make happen. Now let me tell you another thing that will make you happy, maybe. And that is your prarabdha. The karmas that have caused you to take this birth, take you all the way through from birth to death, means the very reason you took this birth, what unfolds as you, not just what unfolds as this body, but what unfolds as the very reason that you took the birth. That's the prarabdha karma. And that prarabdha is going to manifest, they say, right, in three ways. One is called anyecha, anya icha. Your prarabdha manifests out of the desire of others. They call you to come, they want you to come, or they need you to do something. So others become the impetus that causes you to move into something. It can also be what's called anicha. Icha means desire. It's nobody's desire. it's taking place in the creation. It's taking place in the society, and you find yourself in the middle of it, as along with everybody else in your prarabdha. Their whole creation is changing to create an event, a situation for you, or the society is. That's anicca. It's not that somebody's pulling you into it. The creation itself is pulling you into a new situation or the immediate environment. But the other one is swecha. Swa-icha. It's a desire that rises out of you. And those desires are your very prarabdha. And it's arising out of you, and you need this, you want it. It's a desire. It can be a strong desire. But once you have some shraddha in Bhagavan and you get used to this, when those strong desires come, you feel happy. It's like, oh, that's interesting. You know, this desire has come. That's my direction. That's what Bhagavan wants. Let's see how he makes that happen. You know? It's still not that you have to make it happen, but that desire is there. It means that you have the energy. The energy is going in that direction for you. And so then you can go. You can go with it. And all the while, letting go with it means watch how Bhagavan makes that happen. Not that you have a desire and now I have to make it happen. No, I have that desire because that desire is coming out of my prarabdha. You know? And as I gain more situated in this knowledge, extraneous desires that have nothing to do with me fall off. Because I know, I have enough knowledge to know that the ananda that I seek is my own self. I'm not picking up other people's desires. Like I see Mary over here, my next door neighbor, she seems so happy, and she has her little white picket fence and her little car and all the things, you know. Lots of money and all of that. Maybe I should have that too. That kind of stuff all drops off. It doesn't have anything to do with you, you know. But there's those desires that arise, not the desires that are triggered by another person who's able to do this or is a good tennis player or plays the guitar or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Remember when I was a little girl and to play the guitar because that was cool. Whatever. These are all just picked up things. All of that falls off. And then your desires are speak. Then, when that's true, your desires are speaking to you. Your prarabdha is speaking to you. And it's exciting. And then you just say, okay, you know, this is what I want to do. Let's see how Bhagavan does that. You know, you still need not be in a hurry. You know, you have to wait. You have to wait until you slow down enough that you don't feel like you're waiting. Right? We have to slow down so much. To just be present to the creation, to live our life. So a lot of people, most people are not living their life. They are worrying about what happened in the past or worried about and imagining what needs to happen in the future. You know, most of the life is spent there, pratibhasika, in this imaginal world of, you know, mourning over the past, regretting, worrying about the past, and then projecting into the future and wondering what's going to happen to me and what do I really want to do and this could happen and that could happen. How much time is spent in this imaginal space? You know? That is just that, imaginal. And unfortunately, the imagination creates emotions as much as this world creates emotions. So you live in an imaginal space and then become very upset. By your imagination upsets you because of catastrophic thinking or this horrible thing that could happen. And because you're in this imaginal land, your system does not know whether, let me put it this way, your emotional system responds to the imaginal world as well as to the physical world. It doesn't really, isn't able to tell the difference. That's why in sports, if you practice tennis in your imagination, the body conforms. You actually become a better tennis player. They teach this now in all of the different sports. You imagine yourself doing it perfectly. Imagine your body doing it perfectly. And you actually are learning that way, you know. So your imagination is the imagination also programs you and it excites all of your emotions. Like if I say, imagine biting into a lemon, you know, go ahead. Immediate. Right? You might as well be biting into a lemon, you know. So getting in touch with it, really starting to more and more kind of understand Ishvara, give your life over to Ishvara. You think you're giving it over to Ishvara. Ishvara already has it, you know. That's already the fact of it. So instead of even saying, give your life over to Ishvara, which you can't do, it's really something that takes place through knowledge. But maybe a better way of saying that is start recognizing how your life is unfolding. How your prarabdha, that is all of your surrounding and all of the things that are going to come your way, including your body, mind, sense organs, and your parents and brothers and sisters and all the important people in your life and your significant relationships and all of that. All of it, you know, that's all the prarabdha. So just see how Ishvara is unfolding in reference to your prarabdha, you know. And more relax into that, where the depth of the relationship is toward Ishvara, not toward the prarabdha or the universe making me happy. What's making me happy the most is my relationship with Ishvara, my own ananda and my relationship with Ishvara. Because that's really the relationship with Dharma, that's the relationship with what is, that's what gives so much freedom. Knowing, understanding that any ananda, all the love that you experience comes only from your own being. That is the only source. And so if you think, like when we did the prayer today, in the meditation, you know, what is your prayer to Bhagavan when you have that relationship with Bhagavan? What is it that you really, really want? You know? What is it that you're really seeking in life? That's a really good prayer to have, and it will change over time. You know, what you think is really important, what you're really asking for, where you want Bhagavan's blessings. What is it that you really want help with? Just sit with that in that prayerful way and see. Would you be surprised, you know? And then just keep doing that, keep seeing. You'll see what you value the most. And then that becomes what you're working for. And what you value the most is probably on a much more subtle level than you may have expected. What you really want, what you really need, what you really want from Bhagavan, it might be on a more subtle level than, I want a new car. You might want a new car too. But that's just on the practical level. What I really want is what? Such a beautiful prayer. And then live that. Yeah. It's a beautiful prayer to really give yourself the time to tune into what it is really on the deepest level, what you really want. And then go for that. It'll probably surprise you what it is. It's easier to go for it than what you think.
tachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate om shanti 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 hari om shri gurubhyo namah.